All right, welcome back. Hour number two. Adam the Bull with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And we, as always, are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We switch gears from college football to the pros. I don't know if anybody's covered it longer than John McClain. Maybe Gil Brandt. Is Gil the only one that's got you beat, John?
I believe of all the ones I know, Gil's got me beat by a long shot. He is around the block and ahead of me, I'll tell you that.
When you talk about covering players, how different has it changed over the years, the way you've interacted with players, from 40 years ago to 30 to now? Is it much different? Is it not as much different as we would think?
Oh, yeah, Adam, it's changed a lot. Not just back then, you could stay in the dressing room, talk to players, had plenty of time before practice, after practice. You got to know them. And it's slowly but surely the rules have changed. Now, of course, media is limited to 45 minutes in the dressing room. You don't have time to talk to anybody because if you try to, then about 30 people with microphones are going to run over there and try to hear what you're saying. So you have to adjust with the times, but you don't develop relationships. I have much better relationships with Oilers than I will ever have with Texans because I just don't get to spend time getting to know Texans like I used to.
In terms of the game itself, I'm curious, do you like the game better now or did you like the old school football better?
No, I like it better now because it's a privilege to cover so many great quarterbacks. They're just throwing the ball all over the place, and I like it. I'm still a fan of the running game when it's a great running back, somebody you like Todd Gurley, for instance.
Sure.
But throwing the ball, I mean, I'm just like a fan. You know, I like to see a lot of offense. Not like in college football where I went to Baylor, the scores they used to have when Art Briles was there. But watching that 43-40 New England victory over Kansas City, I thought that was the game of the year.
I agree. I love it. I love the NFL now. I know some people complain about it, but I enjoy it. Let's start with the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson, obviously a little up and down early, not surprisingly, coming off a big injury last year. He looked great when he was healthy last year, and he looked great against Miami this past week. 16 of 20, 5 touchdowns, no picks. Do you look at this game as him kind of really putting it all together, or is it just a coincidence and we still might see a little up and down from Deshaun this year?
Well, he had been up and down, Adam, because of a partially collapsed lung and a broken rib and a bruised sternum. You know, that'd get anybody down.
Sure.
Plus, his offensive line was really struggling with pass protection. Now, a lot of his success these last two games when he did not throw an interception for the first time has been because of the improvement of the offensive line. He's been sacked one time in two games. He was knocked down once by Miami. And so now they've losing Will Fuller is a serious blow to them. But he looked in this game against Miami like he looked last year in two or three games in which he just made one smart big play after another.
Will Fuller, he's lost his big target. Obviously, Fuller missed time last year. But, you know, this season he was on pace for a 1,000-yard season, on pace for about 10 touchdowns, and now done for the season. How big a loss is that for the Texans?
Well, the person that's going to affect the most is DeAndre Hopkins, their best receiver, who's on a pace for about 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns after leading the NFL in touchdown receptions last year, because now teams don't have to worry about not having a deep threat, keeping safety on that side of the field. They can put all their attention on Hopkins. He's been in this situation before and still produced, but Brian Gain, their first-year general manager, everybody in Houston's eager to see if he'll be able to pull off a trade and bring in another receiver, and they also need a cornerback because of injuries. And the division is definitely winnable after starting 0-3 and winning 5 in a row and being on top of the division, having all three division opponents in Houston. They've gotten the road games out of the way. The division's winnable. And they don't have anybody on the roster right now even remotely capable of stepping up and replacing Will Fuller.
Yeah, you talk about the 5 in a row in the division. You know, Tennessee and Jacksonville have huge offensive issues. Indy's got Luck back and playing well, but their defense is not very good. Who do you look at right now as the toughest competition in the South for the Texans?
Ordinarily, I would say Jacksonville. I picked the Jaguars to win the division again. They're on the verge of imploding, and the Titans have been challenged to score touchdowns. Andrew Luck is playing great, and they just came off a 200-yard rushing game. They had not had a good rushing performance all season. So I could see the Colts, despite injuries, affecting this division because of Luck. The Texans won by 3 in Indianapolis in a shootout between Luck and Deshaun Watson about to start the winning streak. And they come back here during a 3-game homestand in which they played 3 in a row here. So it wouldn't surprise me if Indianapolis doesn't end up having an effect on what all 3 of the other teams do.
John McClain with us. John, let's go to the AFC North, where the Steelers, after a little bit of a shaky start, now 3-2-1, good enough for first place by percentage points. The Steelers, Bengals, Ravens all 1 game over .500. The Steelers will play a Browns team who is starting to improve, although they're still extremely poorly coached, in my opinion. They'll play the Browns this week, coming off a bye. Still no Le'Veon Bell. What do you think about the Steelers, and what do you think the Steelers do as well as Connor's played when Bell returns?
Well, I picked the Steelers to win the division and be the primary competition for the Patriots for the Super Bowl. I never envisioned the Chiefs being as great as they are.
Yeah.
And even though I watched Patrick Mahomes throughout his career at Texas Tech, didn't have any idea he was going to be so incredible in his first season as a starter. And therefore, I'm not sure Kansas City's not the best team in the AFC, even though
you're right.
New England beat them by 3. But the Steelers, James Conner has been good.
Yep.
And I would imagine once Le'Veon Bell comes back to get credit for the season, Mike Tomlin's going to have a difficult decision because the players like and respect Conner because of how hard he works, how well he's done. But I would imagine with the weather getting bad, they would utilize both of them, not at the same time, of course. And I believe I saw where Conner said he understood Bell's role when he comes back. In other words, Bell's the starter, but Conner, people in Pittsburgh take their hats off to him. To me, that makes their running game twice as good, helps their receiving game, and I feel confident they will win the division.
You know, I agree with you. You mentioned Kansas City, though, so let's talk about them. Obviously, their offense has been ridiculous. They've scored 260 points, which is the most in the NFL. Their defense has had their issues, although they did play well against Cincinnati last week. Do you believe in the end, you know, in the way the league is now, we talked about it, you know, offense wins the day, but you got to be able to play some defense once you're playing other great offensive teams in the playoffs. Is their defense good enough that you think they can beat New England in the postseason?
I'll tell you this, Adam, and you know this is true. Once the weather starts to get bad,
yep,
you have to be able to run the ball and you have to be able to play defense because you never
yep
know what the conditions
right
are going to be. And if they go back to Foxborough for the AFC Championship game, you would think both defenses are going to have to play a whole lot better than
true
they did in that 43-40 New England victory. I think Kansas City's defense is getting better. But is it good enough to win the AFC considering Andy Reid's bad track record in the playoffs? You know, that's something we're all waiting to see, including Chiefs fans. You know, they've been great in regular season before, and then they spit the bed at home. So, and New England doesn't. So I think Kansas City's best chance to go to the Super Bowl, get home field advantage because it is so difficult to win at Gillette Stadium in January.
John McClain with us from the Houston Chronicle, longtime NFL reporter covering the league. And, John, let's talk about the best team in the NFC and the only undefeated team in the NFL. The Rams are 7-0. They have a plus 107-point differential, which is just crazy this early in the season. Do you see any Achilles heel at all at this point with the Rams?
We're going to know in a month. They've got the brutal part of the schedule coming up, beginning with the Packers, in which the Packers, last I saw, 10.5-point underdogs at the L.A. Coliseum. And then they've got 3 other tough ones coming up. But right now, they're the best team by far.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Do you believe Jameis Winston will be the Buccaneers starting quarterback in 2019?
I do, and here's why. When he got suspended for the incident was in 2016.
Yeah.
And so it just came out. So since that incident, which I believe was in the off season, he has not had a problem since then. So yes, I believe Winston will be the Bucs quarterback.
When you look at Drew Brees, obviously he's having another great year. They're off to a great start. They're 5-1 on the year. They've won five in a row. When people talk about the all-time great quarterbacks, I feel like he gets left out unfairly. Do you feel like he gets left out, and do you think it's unfair if you do?
I do, and I do think it's unfair, because if you look at Drew's history, his durability, one injury, just like Brady, and he just shows no signs of letting up. Drew Brees has said he wants to continue to play into his 40s as long as Sean Payton is there. They're going to be one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL. Those two go together like bacon and eggs, and I can't imagine the Saints would want to break it up at any point. And they didn't after three consecutive losing seasons. Then all of a sudden they started to win again last year. Brees should get a lot of consideration for MVP. Right now it is hard to pick a guy who is a leading candidate to be MVP because there's so many worthy candidates. And Drew Brees should be right up there with him. There's no telling what his records are going to look like if he plays till he's 42 or 43 years old, just like Brady.
Another guy that's going to maybe break all the records eventually, Aaron Rodgers. You mentioned they're a big underdog, probably as big underdog as he's ever been. They're 3-2-1. Everybody in the NFC North is 500 or better. The Lions have bounced back after a bad start, although the Bears have now dropped two in a row. Who do you think ends up coming out of the NFC North?
It's the best division top to bottom in the NFL.
Yeah.
Minnesota's got a really tough but great game coming up Sunday. And I picked Minnesota to win the division. If Mike Zimmer can get that defense to do what it did last year after a 2-2 start then they're going to win it again. The Packers, I don't think, are good enough on both sides of the ball to win it, but three of them are capable of making the playoffs. The Bears, you know, I don't see the Bears winning the division. I think the Bears are going to fade, but it's certainly going to be fun to watch them considering how good they are from top to bottom. You know, usually the best division is defined by its worst team, and the Bears are the best worst team in the NFL.
Yeah. We mentioned Jacksonville before, but Jacksonville and Philly play each other, obviously, tomorrow in England, and both teams are surprising 3-4. For me, Philly's the bigger surprise of the two. Which one's a bigger surprise to you?
Philadelphia, because the Eagles are defending Super Bowl champion. Now, I picked the Cowboys to win the division and Philadelphia to make a wild card, because when you lose two such important offensive coaches as the Eagles did, I thought it would have an effect. And the thing that I also believe about the Eagles, they've made a lot of changes. And even though Carson Wentz is going to keep getting better, we would think, coming off that torn ACL, I think the Eagles, as they get down to crunch time in December, they're going to be a lot better. Texans play up there next to last game. I expect that to have an effect on both teams' playoff chances, maybe division title chances. And the NFC East is a huge disappointment. Three teams can win it. Of course, the Giants, none of us think the Giants can.
Yeah.
But the Eagles, they could turn it around over the second half. You know, Adam, that old adage about it's not what you do in September and October, but November, December, there's a reason we say that. And there are divisions to be won by teams that have losing records. There's divisions to be won by teams that I'm not going to say are two games out, but get hot over the second half of the season and you can still win it. And I think of all the teams I look at that are down, Philadelphia winning the NFC East is still a definite possibility.
No doubt. You mentioned you had Dallas winning the East at the beginning of the season. Obviously, they made the trade for Amari Cooper. I will admit I am an anti-Cowboy guy. I can't stand Jerry Jones. He drives me crazy, so I root against the Cowboys. What did you think of that trade, giving up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper?
Let me go back to last year. I picked the Eagles to win the division, go to the Super Bowl, play New England. I did not have them beating the Patriots. And this year, I thought that they would take a step back. Dallas was 9-7 with Ezekiel Elliott missing six games last year.
True.
So I thought the Cowboys would be better. And the Cooper trade, they had to do it.
Yeah.
They need a receiver who could possibly draw double coverage to keep an extra safety from focusing on Ezekiel Elliott. And maybe Cooper will be the guy because they had none. He has one 100-yard game, which is more than all the Cowboy receivers combined. And a lot of it depends on, of course, what John Gruden does with that first-round pick. But the Cowboys were desperate, so I think it was a good move for them.
Yeah, and they could still win the division. I mean, like you said, they're only a game and a half behind Washington, and I don't think anybody totally trusts Washington. And I, you know, as much as maybe Dak Prescott got a little overrated year one, I think now he's been overly criticized since he hasn't had much talent around him in the passing game. Isn't he probably the real Dak Prescott, maybe somewhere in between what we've seen more recently versus the first year?
That's a great way to put it. It wasn't his fault. They didn't give him replacements for Witten and Bryant, who had reached the end of their careers.
Yep.
Everybody said during the offseason the Cowboys need a receiver. They need a tight end. But Jerry and Stephen Jones didn't buy into it. Maybe Jason Garrett didn't either. But they've paid a price so far for not having talent outside or even a serious threat at tight end. And it's too late to fill all those needs, but I'll guarantee you they're going to work on that in the offseason. Meanwhile, they hope Amari Cooper can help them win the division. I don't see them earning a wild card berth. That's going to come out of the NFC North. But if you want to get in the playoffs in the East, you better win that division.
Do you, you know, you mentioned before that Houston may make a trade for a wide receiver. There's been a lot of rumors, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, maybe Golden Tate. You know, there's been a lot of names mentioned. We've heard about maybe the Raiders will trade Derek Carr. Maybe the Giants will trade Odell Beckham. Well, that seems unlikely. Do you think we'll see some big names traded between now and the deadline next week?
It depends, Adam, on how big of the name you think it is. Like, I'll tell you a great example of great timing. Devontae Parker, number one pick for the Dolphins in 2015. This year had been inactive for most of the season. He had to play against the Texans on Thursday night, and he had a great game.
Yep.
And you talk about maybe maximizing your trade viability. He certainly did. And there's talk about DeSean Jackson. There's a lot of receivers out there who seem to be available, but some of them are playing for teams that still have a chance to get in the playoffs. So I think, like last year, we're going to have a flurry of activity by the time we get to the deadline Tuesday, and that makes it even more interesting.
John, last thing, we'll wrap it up with this. We started by talking about how the league has changed in 40 years. Well, it seems like right now, more than ever, and I don't know if this is just prisoner of the moment, you tell me, that the criticism of officials is greater than ever. Here where I am in Cleveland, there's been some extremely standout bad calls against the Browns. But I feel like I never like when players complain about refs because it always seems like a loser mentality to complain about refs. We just saw official, though, fired for the first time in forever during the season. Is the officiating worse than it's been, or is it just we have high def and social media, and so it's just talked about more?
You just said it, Adam, and I think the Browns would have won two games if they hadn't gotten bad calls, and that's happening across the league. And I actually feel bad for the officials, but because you mentioned high definition, all the camera, social media, everybody's an expert. Any little flaw is going to be magnified. And it's just part of the life they live. There's no shortage. There's a lot of want to officiate in the NFL. And when you get fired, you don't get fired for one thing. You know, you get job evaluations. Your crew and each individual official is evaluated every week by the league office. So if you get fired, there's been a pattern there. But it does send a message to others. But I don't know what the officials, they do as well as they can possibly do. So when they make mistakes, it's an honest mistake. So all of a sudden, you're under even more scrutiny. How do you be better when you're giving it everything you've got? What you have to do is try to make sure you have the best possible officials available. But there seems to be a lot of bad calls that have affected games. And I feel bad for every team, like the Browns, in which every game is crucial.
John, great stuff, man. Good to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Adam, my pleasure. Thank you very much, and have a great weekend.